This is The Takeaway. I'm Todd Zwillick, coming to you today from Dallas, Texas, and the studios of KERA Public Radio. I'll be here through Thursday, bringing you our regular show, along with stories from Dallas and from the Texans who live here. You know, the World Series is a big story in Houston, not far from here. The Astros are in. We're going to talk about that later this hour. But southeast of here, nearly 2 months ago, Hurricane Harvey made landfall and devastated the Houston area. Since then, workers have cleared mountains of debris from homes and from city streets, and more than 120,000 people have visited disaster recovery centers run by FEMA, the Federal Emergency Management Agency. But the rebuilding effort here is still part of daily life for hundreds of thousands of more Texans, particularly along the Gulf Coast. They say FEMA isn't meeting all their needs, and there are reports of denied assistance and slow response times. Judge Stephen Brent Carlton is the top elected official in Orange County, Texas. That's a mostly rural county along the coast east of Houston. Judge Carlton called on FEMA to help after Harvey, and he's here to tell us how that help has been going. Judge Carlton, welcome.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
First, Judge, give me a sense of how bad the damage was in Orange County around your way.
Orange County suffered significant damage due to Hurricane Harvey. About 60% of our homes were affected. That's about 26,000 homes out of 40,000. And a significant number of our businesses were damaged. And so far, we've picked up close to 250,000 cubic yards of debris.
250,000 cubic yards of debris sounds like an enormous amount. How much more cleanup is there to go?
That gets us about 60% through the first pass. There's going to be three passes to pick up debris.
And so you called on FEMA, Judge, for some disaster response centers. What'd you ask them for?
Well, initially we asked them for two disaster recovery centers, just due to the number of our citizens that were affected. Ultimately, they said they would give us two mobile disaster recovery centers. Those are kind of ones that they set up in parking lots with RVs. Well, we let our citizens know where those services were going to be, on what date and what time. One of them showed up, the other did not.
So they promised two and you got one. What happened when you called them back?
Well, we definitely gave them a call back quickly. We had elderly couples waiting out in the parking lot in the heat, trying to get to that disaster recovery center that did not arrive for them. FEMA did set up the tents, oddly enough, but no services were there. So we did call them and let them know that this was an unacceptable situation for our citizens.
What did they say?
They told us that they were stretched to the max as far as resources, and that's why the second one had not arrived. They did say that they were going to start rotating the one mobile one between the two spots. It's been a few days in one place and a few days in the next place. We told them that was not enough and that they needed to get us more. Ultimately, after several weeks, they did get us two disaster recovery centers.
Judge, what are the services here at these disaster recovery centers? What are your citizens getting there?
The main thing that people get is they can talk to a FEMA representative face-to-face. Most of our citizens have experienced extremely long wait times whenever they call into FEMA. Some of them as many as 4 hours that they're waiting on hold. So this gives them a chance to talk to people face-to-face, ask a lot of questions, and get the assistance they need. The disaster recovery centers also offer the SBA. Those are the loan programs through the federal government. They can get those services there as well.
And how many folks in your county are looking for these services?
There were 28,000 of our citizens that registered with FEMA. So far, 14,000 have been approved. Another 10,000 or so are pending. FEMA has done well for some of our citizens. They've received about $82 million in federal grants. And through the SBA loan program, about $79 million has been approved.
So some of the aid and some of the money is coming through. When people went to visit these centers that you tried to get, and there was one, not two, and then some rotating around from parking lots, what did this mean for your people who were trying to get their lives back in order?
Well, they obviously have gone through a very devastating time for themselves personally. So they're already kind of on edge and don't have a whole lot of patience. And so when they show up to a parking lot and the services aren't there, they get really frustrated. They're obviously upset with FEMA, and they're upset with the local government for telling them that FEMA was going to be there. And so, they don't like the idea of having to drive another 20 miles to get to the recovery center that is open.
Yeah, they're upset with the federal government, and also they call you.
Yes, they call me. They call our commissioners. They call their mayors. Understandably, they want answers. They want the help that they believe that they should get. So we do our best to try to guide them and get that help for them.
And so now, Judge, that it's a couple of months out, I know you've had this difficulty. What's the situation now in Orange County? Are people able to access this aid quickly and more efficiently than they were before?
Yes, they are now. As FEMA resources have kind of moved east after they've kind of worked on areas in Rockport and other areas throughout Texas, as they kind of move more resources this way, people do get better access to it. There are two full-time disaster recovery centers open in the county, so that has helped a lot for our citizens.
So, Judge, President Trump has given his administration very high marks for the storm response, not only in your neighborhood in Texas, but in Florida and Puerto Rico, saying that FEMA's done a great job, everything has gone pretty much according to plan. According to your experience and the experience of people in Orange County, you would say what?
I don't know necessarily I would give it an A+. I do understand the fact that their resources are stretched so thin, covering Texas, Florida, Puerto Rico, and now the California wildfires. But one thing I would have liked to have seen a little better is some of the coordination and communication. So if they tell us that we're going to get two of these disaster recovery centers, either deliver to or let us know that they're only going to get one before people start showing up and waiting in a parking lot. A+ would be, I think, perfection. I think that's kind of unrealistic for anybody to have in a situation like this.
And if you asked one of your Orange County folks down at the grocery store in the parking lot what marks they might give, what do you think you'd hear?
Well, for the ones that have received aid so far, they may give it a B+ or an A-. For the ones that are still waiting, I'm sure they would be willing to give it an F.
Recovery in Orange County in Texas, as some people get their FEMA aid and many people still waiting for it. Judge Stephen Brent Carlton, thank you so much.
Absolutely. Thank you.
And you've been telling us about your experiences getting relief or assistance from FEMA. We got this from Perth Amboy in New Jersey. We got a grant of $30,000 to raise our house on a New Jersey barrier island. A great deal of paperwork, but ultimately worthwhile. And from New York City, the FEMA funds took a long time to process, and the amount wasn't enough to cover the damages from Hurricane Sandy. Have you had experiences with FEMA? Let us know. 8778-MY-TAKE is the number. You can tweet us at The Takeaway. So FEMA is trying to offer help on the ground in places like Texas and Florida and Puerto Rico. But the money comes from Congress. The Senate is set to vote as early as today on an aid package worth $36.5 billion for hurricane relief. Congress is facing pressure to act quickly here, but not everybody is happy about what they're getting. Sungmin Kim is a congressional reporter for Politico. Sungmin, welcome back.
Hey, Todd.
Great to have you. $36.5 billion. How big is this new aid package given the size of the destruction that we've seen across Texas and Florida, Puerto Rico, and wildfires out west?
I mean, it's certainly not big enough, the home state senators say, to deal with the aftermath of these major hurricanes in Texas, Florida, and Puerto Rico. We actually had some objections from powerful Republicans late last week, including Senate Majority Whip John Cornyn of Texas, the number two Senate Republican, because the aid package wasn't big enough. And there was actually a small risk that Congress wouldn't be able to send this package to President Trump this week because some of the Republicans were demanding that the package go bigger. But late last week, Senator Cornyn got some concessions or extractions from the administration, saying there's going to be another bucket of funding money coming soon from the administration, maybe perhaps sometime in mid-November, that should take care of further needs in those states. But it is enough to cover the immediate needs right now. But certainly, if you talk to senators who are helping their constituents deal with the aftermath, it's certainly not big enough.
So $36.5 billion, I mean, we heard quotes after Harvey that people in Houston thought the cleanup might be $150 billion. It makes sense why senators are running back to the White House and saying this isn't going to be enough. But aside from just cash, Sungmin, what's in this bill?
So there is, in terms of cash, we have an immediate money infusion of cash into FEMA, which is running out of money very quickly. We also have, there's about almost $19 billion in that bucket. We also have about $16 billion to shore up the National Flood Insurance Program, which has had some financial problems that have been well documented. But this is so people, particularly in Texas, who had the first storm can get their claims paid out. It also includes a nearly $5 billion loan to Puerto Rico that actually is meant to help Puerto Rico pay out some liabilities they have in terms of, you know, payroll for their government employees and funding some pensions. And it also includes a provision that allows low-income residents in Puerto Rico to basically get food stamps, food assistance, the same kind of food assistance that people in Texas and Florida currently have.
What about the Jones Act, Sungmin? We reported a few weeks ago that people in Puerto Rico, members of Congress, were clamoring to get this part of the law that requires U.S. flagged ships and U.S. crews to deliver materiel to Puerto Rico. The Trump administration suspended it for just 10 days, but now it's back on. Is that part of the fight here?
It is part of the it's not part of the final package, but it's definitely part of the fight. I reported yesterday that there were at least two senators, Senator Jeff Flake of Arizona and Mike Lee of Utah, who weren't going to let the package pass as quickly as it could because they wanted to make a point about permanently exempting Puerto Rico from the Jones Act. Now there is legislation to do just that, authored by Senator Lee and also Senator McCain of Arizona. They said this clearly hampers aid issues. They believe it's an antiquated law. It doubles the shipping costs from between various U.S. ports. When if you ship the same goods from a foreign nation, it's actually half that cost. So they say there's a lot of reasons to permanently exempt Puerto Rico from this law that was enacted in 1920, but it's not part of these final negotiations. But clearly, this is going to be an issue that continues to come up in these funding negotiations.
Yeah, they'll have to fight that out elsewhere. Sungmin, you know, there's been a lot of dissatisfaction, a great deal of reporting from Puerto Rico. Numbers like 75% of the island in some places still without power. People in the middle of the island who still don't have regular access to food and water. Are lawmakers talking about this? Are senators using this bill to demand answers about the response in Puerto Rico?
You have a lot of vocal Democrats saying that attention to Puerto Rico, especially on Capitol Hill, is starting to diminish a little bit. I mean, there have been particularly lawmakers from Florida and New York, where there are large Puerto Rican populations, are being vocal. Senator Chuck Schumer suggested over the weekend that maybe there should be a permanent kind of relief czar, someone to oversee this effort. But for now, it does get overshadowed by a lot that's going on Capitol Hill. You have fights over tax reform. You have fights over foreign policy. And we'll mm-hmm. continue to have these aid discussions. But again, yes, it is falling from the radar a bit.
Sungmin Kim of Politico, thanks so much. $36.5 billion looks like it's headed to the White House for disaster relief.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories about policing or
politics,
country music,
hockey,
sex of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.